Okay, folks, this edition of Friday on Tech and Talk. So if the next agenda can start, please. First of all, I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting today. Thank you, Mr. Mayor McCary. Particularly like to welcome Jacqueline Burns and our students from Southern Regional College to the meeting this evening. The students are studying for the LC Business Administration Private Sector Diploma and are attempting to observe the meeting progress. Also, I'd like to send a thanks to our staff in our refuse collection and to all our officers. There are a number of reports that came to committee tonight that I'm sure a lot of councillors here are looking forward to get their teeth stuck into. And also, given what has happened on Monday with Solid Media, the emergency services and the statutory agency, they've done such a great job in this district in the clear-up and with the impact of it, so I'd like to give a thanks to them as well. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are either turned off or set to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of this meeting will be audio recorded except where the committee is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I remind members of the committee of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to prepare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, state the item of business that it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of this discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. And if I can call for any apologies. Councillor Stokes. And any declarations of conflict of interest?
No.
Okay. And then we move on to action sheet. And we'll just go through for accuracy. So we have page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Our councillors happy to move the action sheet. The next item of business is a report regarding street trade and designation at Stranger Village, and I'm going to pass over to Colin Jackson for that report.
Thank you, Chair. Members are asked to note the content of this report and to agree to approve the designation of Key Road, Stranger Village, for a street trading pitch. To read the background into it, the council licensing session received a request to designate a site at Key Road in Blackford from Mr. Mark McAllister. The request was submitted to the council on the 11th of April, and three sites were identified as possible pitches. The proposal wishes to trade in tea, coffee, vending type business. Subsequently, the licensing session consulted with the Department for Infrastructure, which is Road Service. They consulted with PS&I and they advertised the proposal in the local press. The Road Service responded, and they responded they had objections to two of the sites, but had no objections to option number 3 on the attached map, which in the report. The PS&I agreed with the recommendations of the Department for Infrastructure, and we had no objections from the public in relation to the public advertisement that we supplied. The key issues are that the council has the authority to either approve or refuse the designation of a street for the purposes of street trading, and currently there are no other designated streets within Stranger Village. So the recommendations taken into consideration that we have not received any objections from the public, from the PS&I or the Road Service, I would recommend that we approve the street for the purpose of trading as detailed in option 3 on the attached map. If you want to, Councillor, if you want to refer to option 3 on the attached map, it's an area overlooking the lower green, and it takes up some existing car parking bays within the village itself. So, as I say, with the fact that we have received no objections to the request, I will be recommending the approval of this designated pitch. If the council do agree to approve the pitch, the next step will be for us to publicly advertise it and to advertise for any potential traders to come forward. firm, and one is already come forward, but we would have to go through the process of advertising for others just in case they wish to come forward as well. So, happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Mr. Carr.
The first thing is, I've read this application, but I couldn't understand or the video that would come out after the recommendations for consultation in any kind of good way. I think there are no objections at all.
No, this paper specifically requested a tea coffee vending type business. He didn't want to go down the road of hot food trading, because that might help, you know, you may receive objections from other businesses within the your village itself.
Yeah, well, then I'm not sure, I don't know, I'm going on with the recommendation here. And then after I've got a blessed conscience to break through, then to break for consultation, then maybe for public consultation, we might have a different picture table. And if that did not happen, then what is a lot of obligations come in to the procedure then?
Sure. Now, we have already gone out for public consultation. We've already advertised it, and we did not receive any objections. So that it was the intention at this stage that if we go back out to advertise, we are only going out to advertise for potential traders. We may have more than one trader that wants to operate in that area, and therefore then we would have to decide who we award the trading pitch to.
Sure, I propose that we go to the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Burns.
Thanks, sir. Just a quick question. We are proposing, actually, we're option 3 to propose on the basis that it takes up a few car park spaces, and there's no objection to that. The guy that is initiating the process wanted to do tea and coffee, but not hot food. My experience in Castle Mountain certainly is that hot food causes a lot of issues with local hot food, chippies and whatever else. There are arguments, obviously, as to why are they paying big rates for somebody to come in and take a pitch at a percentage of the cost. Could somebody just inform us of what the process would be if the successful tender? Will we be offering this out on the basis that it is tea and coffee only, or are they able to turn around at a later stage and say, well, they want to change the specification to hot food, because that may put them in conflict with some of the local businesses, just before we award?
Okay, thanks. If the recommendation from the committee tonight is that we go with a tea coffee vending business, that's what we will issue the pitch as we'll meet when we go out for a public advertisement. And if it is the recommendation of the committee tonight that we don't go for a hot food business, well then we will adhere to that. And we can put any terms and conditions onto the license itself.
Thanks for
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to second Councillor Carr's proposal that we go ahead on the basis that it's just really tea coffee facilities. I do think it would, especially during the summer months, it would probably enhance the tourism experience for people that are using the ferry to actually be able to grab a quick cup of tea or coffee on their journey. So I think it's a lot of actually to tourism as well, and help to create a proper experience for people that are using the ferry.
Okay. So on the proposal of Councillor Dermot Curran and seconded by Councillor Garth Crewe, then if we can then proceed then with the office recommendation. The next number of items are under planning, and I'm going to invite Anthony to go through. Normally they're just for noting, however, if any members have any questions for Anthony, or if Anthony would like to give us an update on anything, then I'll take the time to do so.
Thank you, Chair. Items 5, 6, 7, and 8 are the reports that you'd be familiar with on a monthly basis. But perhaps this evening it might be useful if we spend just a little bit of time on item 9, which is the first quarter statistical bulletin, which is produced by the Department for Infrastructure. These are quarterly reports which would give some useful comparisons in terms of the performance of this planning department with its planning departments in other councils across Northern Ireland. So maybe just in running through the report maybe highlight a couple of what we would see as the main point. In terms of applications received on page 6 in the report, Urian Moore Down is second only to Belfast City Council in the numbers of applications being received. You'll see there that in that quarter, first quarter, we received 402 applications. That would compare with Belfast on 448. Other councils at the other end of the spectrum are receiving in the region of just 200 applications. So it would give you an idea of just how busy this department is. And in percentage terms, we are experiencing an increase in applications received, whereas in 7 of the 11 councils, numbers, volumes of applications received have been decreasing compared with the same period last year. And in terms of applications received per 10,000 of the population, again, Mary Morning Down is up there among the top three in terms of most applications received. So that's applications coming in. Applications decided by the council, we have issued in that quarter, we issued more decisions than any other authority. 459 in that period. Belfast was second with 451. Some of the other councils at the other end of the spectrum again issuing in the region of 200 applications. So hopefully you will see that there is a significant amount of work being done within this council planning department, and there are some useful comparative figures for what is happening in other councils. In terms of approval rates, on page 8, approval rates range from a high of 98% in Mid Ulster to lows of 88.9% in Urian Moore and Down. So in terms of the approval rate, we're very much at the moment at the bottom end of the table, but that is largely a result of the legacy that we have inherited. Proportion of live applications over 1 year old on page 9. We would be one of the councils with the highest proportion of applications in that category. Again, that is a legacy issue. But in terms of reducing that carryover from legacy, it's worth pointing out that we had in the region of 170 applications which sort of predated the start of 2015. In the past year, we've reduced that figure to approximately 60. You know, so there's been a significant driving out of older applications from the system. We're not dwelling too much on departmental activity. Major applications, there really aren't that many of them in the system, but if you move on to page 15, which covers local planning, local development applications, that's the vast majority of applications that we would deal with. Average processing times across all the councils is 15.4 weeks from application to receive to decision. For ourselves, where our processing time is in and around 18 weeks, that has come down in the past year from a high of in the region of 32 weeks. You know, so there's been a significant improvement in our processing times. For most of the past year, our processing times we were bottom of that table, in that we were taking the longest average time to process applications. Based on these results, we now sit comfortably mid-table with three local authorities sitting below us with longer processing times than we have. So clearly that there's been a marked improvement within this council, which these statistics, you know, they do make a note of that. In terms of enforcement, our performance would not be at the level that we would hope for, but you know, there are reasons for that, notably the numbers of staff that for different reasons are unavailable for work at the moment. But even so, there is significant, as we discussed I think last month, there is significant enforcement activity and significant progress being made. So I'm happy to take any questions that you might have on any of those reports that are before you for consideration.
Thanks very much, Anthony. Councillor Greig.
Yes, thanks, Chair. And thanks, Anthony, for the report. And certainly, things are moving in the right direction. There's no doubt about that, with the number of live cases having dropped significantly. And also processing times increasing now. I dare say there's no room still for complacency. I'm sure I appreciate that as well. He did give an explanation when looking at the Northern Ireland Planning Report of why our overall approval rate actually is the lowest. We're actually a number of points down from the average for the problems. And he mentioned in them that the reason for that was the number of legacy cases. So I'm not going to get too hung up on that, certainly at this stage. And by the way, at home I couldn't actually get all the report opened, I'm not able to get it all open now, so I wasn't able to look at it in detail. What I would just like to ask is, it's just regarding renewable energy and renewable energy applications. Ideally, I would like to see a report presented to this committee of the number of renewable energy applications over the last 5 years, breaking them down into the type of application, whether they're single wind turbines, wind farms, well, no, we don't have wind farms here, anaerobic digesters, or whatever else, PV installations, the number of approvals each year, and the trends. Because one thing I did note in the Northern Ireland report is that there's a very low percentage of approvals. It's only something like 60%. And I know that there are issues and there are circumstances behind all that to do with renewable energy, especially wind farms, as we know too well in our own council here. But I would specifically like to know what our success rate is and how we're dealing with the applications and how long the applications that we have for renewable energy are actually in the system. I mean, it is one of the government targets, and I'd just like to know how we're contributing and what our role is here in this council. I suppose, I know Councillor Limerick remarked sarcastically that he has a declared interest in renewable energy, so do I, but that doesn't mean to say that I can't ask the questions. I have a general interest in renewable energy. I'm not involved in any renewable energy firm, Chair. It's just a general interest of mine is renewable energy. So specific like report presented that to our council on that matter, I'm sure the figures are available. I think it would be useful for us to have a look at here.
Something you would suggest in there as well. We can certainly try to extract the figures for our district over the last 5 years, and we're happy to bring a report to the appropriate committee. I mean, in terms of where we sit, just in responding to our approval rate of 88% compared with the average and compared with the high spots that some of the councils are achieving. I would say that achieving an approval rate of 98% is astonishing. I've seen no more than that. Our life would be very easy if we were able to achieve an approval rate here of 98%. But given our experience with the planning system going around, that seems inconceivable.
Yeah.
No, that's not an issue.
No. That then is proposed then by Councillor Craig and seconded by Councillor Taylor for a report to come back into this committee with regards to renewable energy applications in this district, detail and approval rates, and that's what we're actually then doing then to contribute them to the renewable energy targets. Councillor Clark?
Thanks, Chair. First of all, I would like to congratulate the staff for all the efforts and turning the targets around. We're all probably aware of the legacy issues, and I think it's a great credit to the staff for, you know, putting that effort in and getting the legacy stuff out of the system as well. And I think we all know and we all realise that the staff do put an enormous shift in. So my sort of focus is on the staff and structures. Have we adequate staff at the minute? The last thing we want is burnout on staff. And my understanding, there is considerable pressures on staff. In regards to enforcement staff, there's very few enforcement staff, and there's an increase in detection of legal buildings. And then in turn then there's more retrospective applications coming into the system. You know, so in regards to the staff and for enforcement, have we enough? The first one. And the second point is in relation to the development plan, then obviously there's more staff than dedicated to that because we're trying to play a bit of catch up on the development plan. So overall I'm just, you know, like to get an idea of the staff and structures and
The council over the last two years has been actively recruiting to fill vacancies that have arisen through most through retirement and staff moving on elsewhere. We have gone out to appoint additional planning staff. You know, we recently appointed two additional members of staff. So I think in terms of the staffing complement that we have, you'd always like that to have more, but given the staffing level we have and the changes that we have made in planning to the way we do our work, I believe we have a complement that's more than capable of dealing with all of the three main areas of planning, the enforcement, the development plan, and planning applications. But we have the staff there. Unfortunately, people will take ill, they will go off to have children. That's part and parcel of the working life now. You know, we recruit to fill those vacancies, but I think our staffing level at the moment is adequate to deal with the pressures we face, particularly with the changes that we have made. You know, there's a noticeable change in the way we're dealing with planning applications now compared with the way we were dealing with them when this council came into being 2.5 years ago.
Councillors will all have time then for the planning session. Anthony, thank you very much. And then we've all named your waste management. We have item number 10, which is going to be taken by Peter White. Peter, if you want to come up then for one of the mics.
Thank you, Chair. This is a report looking at the performance of solar powered litter bins in Newcastle. The bins were purchased as part of the overall scheme for the Irish Open in May 2015. They cost £20,000 for 5 bins. The big advantages of the bins were the fact that they're solar powered means they can be compacted, so they can hold more weight than your average litter bin, like 8 to 10 times as much weight to be put into them. And the other advantage of them is there is an alert system, so they will tell you when they're 3/4 full and then when they're completely full to allow you to organise the collections of them. They're put in the sort of 5 locations that we identified as being where the majority of waste would come from, outside the likes of restaurants, strip shops, that type of thing. One of the other parts, the rest are on the sort of main street central promenade that area. In terms of performance, business food is very good in terms of capacity. And prior to them, we would have an issue, we had quite a few complaints, particularly during the summer months with the fluctuations, people coming in regarding litter bins being overflowing, certainly in the 2 years since they have been in, and even during the Irish Open. We have no complaints, and during the summer, personally, I know there are many complaints that we've received regarding overflowing litter bins in Newcastle. The second impact would obviously be looking at efficiency. Because they're in the town centre, our cleansing crews are in the town centre anywhere, so they're going by them on a regular basis. So I wouldn't say that's been of any benefit to us, but certainly with a big benefit has been the increased capacity. Going key issues for us were obviously the cost of the bins. They are very expensive. An average, an ordinary litter bin would cost about £200 to £250. What I would say in these bins, they have proved very robust. We had minor repairs to do in one due to some vandalism, but that has been which has been good from our point of view. There are collection efficiencies there, particularly if you put them into areas where you're going out of your way to collect the bins. Where they are at the moment, we're not getting those efficiencies, but it's certainly something going further forward, the more remote locations you could put them in. And it's rather than having to send somebody maybe twice a week to check, you know when they're 3/4 full, you know when they're full. You can send somebody on demand rather than as part of the schedule. The big key issue has been the compaction, the fact that you're able to gather more weight, which means litter bins are not overflowing, which is obviously a big benefit to us. The recommendation is certainly when we're going forward, you should certainly consider bringing more in if that's required. Certainly consider, but with the cost, you need to consider both the compaction element of it and also the efficiency element of it. I think you need probably both those things to be working for you to justify the additional cost also.
Thank you, Peter. And our friend Anderson first.
Yeah, well, thanks very much, Chair, and thanks very much for the report, because actually that was concerned that was raised to the staff about the bins in Newcastle, and I must say that they're highly innovative and a novel approach to waste, and in fact, that the cost may be rated price though, but I think in the long term it's value for money to the repair. And as I said, again, thanks for the update and what you said, Peter, and in light of the recommendations, you know, there are different ones you have proposed in the recommendations that are tabled.
Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks for the report, Peter. So I agree with your sentiments in the report. They've probably been more useful in rural areas, you know, more isolated areas like sort of rural beaches, even in the old beach fronts, you know, where we haven't got the resources or the staff, you know, to dedicate a full-time service in regards to locations. Also, like mountain access car parks, you know, they've been very useful in that sort of environment, particularly, you know, for weekends when there is big volumes of holidaymakers coming to the same locations. Then sort of honeypot sort of locations, you know, on bigger than like the Bloody Bridge, you know, with your bigger than like even out of, you know, even Torella and Ballyhorn and, you know, them sort of areas. So maybe going forward that would be a useful thing to do, an exercise to do, and even to maybe, excuse me, even to coordinate with the Moore Harris Trust who's doing our accesses and rights of ways and looking for more data from them where good locations would be. Because I think there's the savings obviously to be made, but it's for the bigger economy, you know, the tourism economy, that we've got a good quality clean environment at these locations, then I think it speaks volumes. And you know, in the age of digital media, you know, and Twitter, and for younger people as well, Snapchat, Instagram or whatever, you know, it's immediate, you know, them types of images being sent all over the world, you know, so them type of locations, I think it would be very useful in providing these things.
Councillor Burns?
Thanks, Chair. Just one last question. What would the life cycle cost of these things be? In terms of if we are spending £4,000 on the bin, you know, as an elected representative, we have to justify that. Over what period of time with the collection and savings and the compact, and obviously the collection of far less times, over how many years would it take for one of these bins to pay for itself in relative terms? Are we expecting them to last that long? So basically, it's asking, is it more economical over time? I know it's a big investment at one stage, but if we were to start a program of replacing these in the sort of places that Willie's highlighted, would it be something that would pay for itself, or would we end up with a bill for something that could be replaced before we've got our 4K out of it?
The savings are really the fact that rather than doing a special collection, so you're going to an area about two or three times a week, you go on demand. So Councillor Patrick's saying, if you've got an area where, you know, in the summertime it's going to be particularly busy, you know, you're going on demand, where in the wintertime when there's maybe nobody at it, again, you only need to go maybe once a month rather than having to go once a week just to check and find that there's actually nothing in the bin. I would estimate you're probably looking at about 10 years, just taking in the efficiency savings that could be there, so, and the increased capacity, I would say it takes like 10 years to, before you get it back. I mean, if you really wanted to get all the efficiencies out of it, you would swap every litter bin, you would reduce the amount because of the increased capacity, and you would have them all on the system, and then you'd be looking at, you know, staffing issues would then become a problem. Do we need as many staff as we need now? But obviously it would be a major investment and would be required for that there. But I would estimate about 10 years before you would start to be your getting good value from it.
Carry your bonus. If we're saying 10 years of pay for themselves, then are we expecting them to last 10 years?
Yeah, like I say, we've had them in basically 2.5 years now. And bar one minor repair for vandalism, we have had absolutely no issues from them. That was my big concern when we put them in, which they actually last, but in fairness, they have lasted very well and continue to do so.
Councillor Spatik and then Councillor Craig.
Okay. Well, thanks. I'm one of those young people that have Snapchat and Chinese food. It's not good to know that I'm in your yeah, young person's radar. How that thing. Just something, I'm just thinking there, do you know that whenever we're having our festivals and stuff, maybe these things can be, you know, taken to different various venues, whatever, rather than having the overflowing bins that we get at different festivals, you know, if they're actually there on site, I know that obviously we're going to be in the festival site in Newcastle, but even at Christmas ones, you know, whenever Santa comes and all that carry on. The Light Church in Olin Murray, the Wake the Giant, those festivals, if they had those, would that be of any use, or is it better for a remote area?
I would think to get two benefits out of it. You know, it would be better in remote areas. I mean, we do provide additional, we'll put in 660 litre bins or 1100 litre bins for events. The bins are located in the ground. Stop vandalism, and they are actually quite bumpy and quite difficult to get in and out.
No, just one.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I certainly don't understand in the way of innovation, Chair, but just along the lines of Councillor Barnes's question, they're basically on, you know, a business case for them and doesn't stack up. As long as we're not been asked tonight to approve, you know, a wholesale purchase of these new compact type bins. I'm just wondering what other research, what research is being done to see if there are any other options out there along some of the lines, how wide the research is being done. Is this the only option that's being presented to us? Because ideally I would like to see some sort of paper coming back to let us know, yes, this is the preferred option, this is the payback period, or etc., etc., as part of an overall proposal before you'd be actually asked to make a decision on it, would you?
At the minute, when we're taking letter bins or putting new letter bins in, it's very much done on an ad hoc basis. We get requests from the public or requests from councillors. And I suppose what the recommendation would be that as part of our process of deciding are we going to put a bin into this location, we should certainly consider that as an option, not necessarily our preferred option, but as an option. At the time, there was only one company that supplied these bins, and now I believe there are two or three, so the cost could have come down since then. I mean, I suppose when I originally went out, they were going to charge me £5,000 a bin, but when I explained what was for, it was for the Irish Open, and there'd be a bit of publicity from them coming out of it, they reduced their prices for us. So it would be more just keep all the recommendation is really just keeping it open as an option that we should consider for areas as we're considering how we, what type of bin we put into an area. It should certainly be an option. It might not be the chosen option, but it certainly was worthy of consideration anyway.
Chair, if you don't mind, you know, if we could carry out a pilot then, a pilot study, you know, if it's an ongoing exercise as far as to see how they perform, you know, I'm happy with that.
Because if you just want to clarify as well, was there a proposal made since the second earlier about people then coming back to this committee about a business case for the options going forward with replacement of deliverables?
Ideally, Charles would like to see, because I mean, there's quite a lot of money here involved at £4,000 per bin. So if we're going to use it quite widespread, you know, it's because of the sizable amount of money. And if that could be done, yeah, I would make that proposal, yeah.
Councillor Holly?
Yes, it's just a small point, really, you know, how maybe, you know, how to consider for the council's respect and procedures and things like that, you know, is there options? You know, it's just how does it fit in then with the whole recycling and stuff that the council is still striving towards?
At the time we went out to get them, there was only what would be the letter bin for just general letter. I now believe that they do recycling options for a similar type of bin. We at the minute don't have any really recycling litter bins in the district. Other councils have had them. Mm-hmm. Certainly the anecdotal evidence would be people just put everything into them. Might be worth considering the possibility of a trial in certain areas. But they are an option now for recycling if necessary.
Chair, just to follow Councillor Craig, I think we should, yeah, put a paper back, and I think we should identify a couple of areas where this would be beneficial. And I'm sort of harping back to the tourism product again. There is locations where there's a lot of litter, and the main access is into the moors, and that's a problem as well, or any other beauty spots. I think that it's important that we look at an area and, as I said, have the discussions with the Heritage Trust or whatever about where the problem areas are, and then identify a couple of areas and use them as an isolated location pilot. But fair enough, we've done the Newcastle one. That's a really busy area, and Peter's already alluded to the outcomes in regards to that. I think it's just very important. Tourism is our corporate. In our corporate plan, it's our biggest component of the corporate plan, our biggest aim in the corporate plan. So we need to be doing everything possible, and every department in the council needs to be doing everything possible to improve the tourism product. So I think we should do that. We should look at it shortly and get some money into the rates process for maybe a couple of locations. But you want to add that in?
Yes,
that's okay.
Yes, I'm happy to add that in.
sort of had a proposal to second them for the proposal then for people to come back to this committee detailing then options in the business case for future placement of funds within the district, especially looking at an actual pilot project in an area where it may not necessarily be as Councillor Clark was saying, used. Are all in agreement? Okay. Thank you very much, Peter. Next item is item number 11, and it's another waste management report. It's a report regarding the food waste expansion project. And we have a named mentor here who will take a lead in that. Before Liam maybe starts, can I just thank Liam and all those in the department who have compiled this, this report.
Thank you, Chair.
Liam, if you just put your mic on, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. And just by way of introduction, my colleague Peter White, myself, and previously Joe Parks, we've been closely involved in this project. I don't intend, I don't think you want me to go through the whole report, but certainly I can summarise the main issues. I will refer you back maybe to different paragraphs. So at the outset, I would say that this has been a very significant progress project, and it will remain work in progress for a further period as we go through different seasonal changes that we think will strengthen collection. When I move into the autumn, again, that's a different challenge. After the autumn time, during winter period, there's no grass and mainly primarily food waste that we target at that time. So the project was commenced October and November 2016, and that was following approval of Council and identified key waste strategy items that we wanted to pursue. Two of those were to meet the requirements of Food Waste Regulation 2015, and secondly, to achieve a 50% recycle rate by 2020. So the Food Waste Regulations, they have as a target to remove food waste from the black bin to a food waste receptacle and recycle this waste, thereby reducing greenhouse gases. The project commenced with new routes drawn up, and councillors will recall that we purchased 27,500 receptacles, and that was to cover those houses that hadn't received a brown bin in previous distributions. But almost immediately, a significant problem was encountered. Possibly because all other councils also were involved in buying in waste receptacles, but the supplier that we had, he didn't achieve his bin delivery dates. It was outside the control of officers, and it set us back by approximately 6 weeks at the outset, taking us into mid-May 2017, referring to paragraph 110 and paragraph 111 of the report. So, as we then attempted to catch up on the delivery of bins, resources were stretched, especially with the availability of drivers, with delivery of bins and implementation of new routes, then brought it into the peak holiday period. So all those aspects were going on and contributing on what we were trying to do. I would say as well that our councillors will, from their own experience with new bin routes going in, you will understand that a new system, it does take some time to settle in, as staff learn new routes. But the main issues have now been addressed, and scheduled routes are currently operating well, other than with normal operational issues such as breakdown and weather. But because of earlier failings, I would say that anything that goes wrong now becomes more noticeable. If I could move on, Chairman, to look at the positives. The project aim was to reduce black bin waste. We have achieved this. We currently reduced our black bin waste, as you see in the graphs that are in the paper, by roughly enough, about 78%. We have come down 700 tonnes every month, the statistics are in your paper. We're currently at 78%. Our target is 10%. I would say that in the latest months of September, I did achieve a 16% reduction in black bin waste. So the project was to increase brown bin waste. And again, the statistics prove that we have done that, in that the current increase shows an increase of 31% on tonnage from last year. Our partner, Natural World Products, who we deliver the waste to, certainly are more than surprised, and certainly I've been in conversation with them, and they certainly didn't expect the change rounds and the current ideas that we have achieved. They also tell us that the material that's coming in is a much better quality. Again, it maybe indicates the education to the public, everybody getting clued in better maybe to recycling. And again, with the statistics that they give you, there is a small increase in blue bin waste, but blue bin waste also has increased by 3%. When we consider that we have just recycling target at 50% that we want to achieve by 2020, in the first quarter of this year, our recycle rate is 48% compared with 42% at the same time last year. So everything is going in the right direction. So currently, and I maybe become tongue-in-cheek and say that all target householders out of the 27,500 that we were delivering, all those householders should have received a brown bin, a receptacle bin. Counters may receive a call, so anyone that's missed, certainly if we can get a call and an address, we will have our bin with them for the next change of collection. To highlight paragraph 114, it's just an item that came out as part of the project. The council will recall in June 2017, Mr. Park advised that we had identified a considerable number of householders across the district, living in houses and areas that were previously delivered with ground bins, and stating that they never had a ground bin, and they'd be coming on the council and say, look, we never got a bin. Well, this is because maybe A, they didn't buy one, because council policy at that time was that if you moved into a house, you had to buy your bin. Secondly, maybe because the previous occupant took it with them, they lost it, or maybe they lived up lane and really they didn't want the extra hassle of taking bins down. So for a number of reasons, there are householders out there that did not have a ground bin. But council in 2017, in June 2017, agreed that we should go back to those houses and give them a ground bin. There was roughly 3,000 householders involved. And all callers that were ringing into us yesterday to June, we couldn't give them a free bin until council policy changed in June. But at this point, we are, I think, well through any requests that are coming to us. So another thing that has been highlighted to council now is that there seems to be more calls coming through now than before, and this is because of this no food waste and black bin stickers that we're placing onto the bins. Now, we've currently held up, I believe, that just to allow the volume of calls that we have got over the last few weeks just to get those cleared, but certainly the success of the sticker is evident in what I've said, that since we started putting those out, the black bin waste has dropped further. We've now, as I say, 16% reduction in black bin waste in September. So we do anticipate that by the end of November, the whole district, we shouldn't be receiving any more calls, or every household, as far as we would be concerned, should have had a bin by that time. And we would be proposing that maybe by the end of December, that there'd be a cut-off, that no further ground bins would be delivered free of charge, but that's a matter for the council to consider. So, councillors, at this stage of the project, we have to attempt to ensure that all decisions have been self-financing, and those 3,000 bins that we referred to were paid for by reduced disposal costs. And by the end of September this year, from April, we do consider that savings to the council and disposal costs have been somewhere around about the order of £225,000. So a significant savings. To move on to other issues, if I can, paragraph 119, support of upgrade recycling this. We wish to address a proposal put forward by a number of councils to withdraw for additional 3 compostable liners. The liners that you all have received many calls about them, they cost about 60 pence per roll for a roll of 25 liners. If one's delivered to every household, that has a cost of £40,000 to provide such liners. Now, it does seem strange that officers would recommend a spend of just metal for something to throw it in. But the evidence is that the provision of beds will further increase recycling rates, and as I say, that's 50% of the target space that we want to get to. So the banks are self-financing in the respect that there's evidence that people that use these banks will increase the recycling rate by a figure of 2/3 of a kilogram per week. That's statistics that we've taken from the LAP organisation, that are the gurus, if you want, for recycling. Not everyone will use the language. So what we are recommending at this point is that the three liners, which are currently distributed from three locations, the Green Bank, from Mountain Road, and from Downshire, that we increase the number of locations from three to approximately 30, and that we will give out three liners on demand from all of our civic community sites, from leisure centres, from community centres, and make them available to those people who want them. And that thereby we're not giving them out to people who may not use them in any case. With respect to householders that can't travel, we have a number of quite a few assisted lists, and we do undertake that we should arrange to do a distribution to such householders on a regular basis. So by putting these liners out on making them available on demand, we do target that we want to, well, sorry, we target 1,000 tonnes of food waste during these winter months. And that would be food waste that otherwise it wouldn't have been recovered. So that the proposal then is also that once we've started this, we've got to consider that we're going to have to provide the liners in next year as well. So a second part of the proposal is that not just this year, but the next provision of this estimate going forward for next year on saving some disposal costs to provide three liners next year, but with the condition that it's subject to a review over the next number of months so that we can make sure that we're not just projects have been for giving out the liners is successful. Chair, the kind of presentation was made, but in conclusion, the Brown Bin project remains very much a work in progress. Very definitely, we've accepted that there has been difficulties with the start of the project, but as it has progressed, officers of the opinion that the problems have been addressed as we've been going along. Issues raised with taxpayers changed as the project has developed. And as you say, it was the initial distribution, then it was the provision of liners, then it was the never butter bin, then it was the sticker on the black bin, on the black bin. But I hope that we've now got to the top of the hill and are well down on the other side. Black bin tonnages are significantly reduced, down, I think, to a factor of 7 or 8%. We're confident that, you know, from what we have seen this shift months, that we expect that to increase further. And it's reported that, you know, I've double checked this with our outlet natural world product, Brown Bin rates are up by 31%. And the last that I suppose is that in relation to compostable bags, proposal is very late to the council that we do provide three compostable bags to householders on request at a cost of an initial spend of £84,000 this year. That's the recommendation in section 2. And proposal is made that it increases the number of locations for which three compostable bags may be collected, and that costs are met from disposal savings to be continued next year, as I say, subject to review. The project will enter a new phase in the winter, and it is essential that we deliver a full service during the winter period, and that we do undertake one or more communications to keep the public involved. If you look at the graphs that I give you, in April and in September, when there were big communication problems, our recycling figures did increase. We do think that it's important to keep them back to the public and keep communications going. And unless Mr. Wilson, Mr. White's anything else there, I'd ask thanks for Councillor's comments, and that you do note the report and provide a proposal in a second.
Thank you very much for that, Liam.
We're going to start off with quite a bit of interest out of our necessities, so we're starting off with Liz Kim.
Yeah, thanks very much, Liam, for the report. It's very welcome. I think a number of councillors have been raising it, that we've been contacted on a regular basis in relation to the miners. So I just want to propose the recommendation for option one. I think particularly the fact that they're going to be made available by on all council sites, the community centres, etc., that makes them very accessible for more elderly people, things like that. And I'm sure the community associations and that will get involved with where they need to be distributed if necessary. And it's very so positive to hear that the difference now that the recycling rates are increasing, people are starting to get used to using the round bin. And I also just want to say a special thank you to the staff because over the last few weeks there has been a very prompt response in getting bins out, particularly people who have been missed, you know, could be one house in the state, and that was raised at the last meeting. So just thanks to Liam Peter and the staff for that as well. So very nice that proposal.
Thank you very much, Councillor Cummins. Councillor Andrews?
Thank you very much, Chair. I'd like to thank the officers for the report that they presented this afternoon. And I know it's been a mammoth task in getting the ground
set the road out right across the district. And again, a pat on the back to all involved and to deal with queries about ground bins that were never issued before. You know, the staff are bent over backwards to make sure those bins are rolled out. And I do welcome the commitment that people who require assistance, you know, that are on the assistance list, are going to be, get the opportunity of getting the bags or delivered to them. I think it's good news, and it's good to see that the message of recycling is picking up with the reduction of black bin waste then being diverted to ground bins. And as I say, the old message of get it right or get it left is starting to work now. But I'm only too happy to second the proposal of and support option one also. I think it's a good news story for the district and for all the hard work over the past lot of years and getting recycled at the end of this. So well done to all concerned.
Chair, thank you, Chair. And certainly, Chair will concur with all the comments that have been made so far. And certainly, with that, my congratulations to all the staff involved for the very efficient way they have delivered this food waste project. It certainly was a major project for this council. A lot of planning was required. A lot of bins had to go out and kitchen carries, etc. So certainly welcome the report, and I too would be favouring option one, Chair. As some councillors have already said, I suppose the one missing link in the chain was the provision of the compostable bags. Like other councillors, I have been getting queries, where do you buy the compostable bags, how much are they? Was hit by a comment, other neighbouring councils provide them free of charge, why can we not do it? And so, as you know, Chair, I wrote to you and also Joe Parks back in July, asking that this would be brought and the economics would be looked into. I certainly believe that by providing compostable bags, we're going to actually encourage people to actually recycle their kitchen waste. It's going to reduce the yuck factor. It's certainly going to make it much more hygienic operation. And I believe that this council will only be playing ball with residents to try and improve the recycling targets even further. And that's great news that we're around 48% now. When the 2020 figure is 50%. So it's good news all around, Chair. I just like to reinforce option one.
Thank you very much, Councillor Craig. And then we have Councillor Burns, or do you want to? Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. Just to agree with the other comments, I think it is a good news story. Well done, Liam, and all the guys, Peter, and all the staff in Rowland House. Obviously, at the beginning, there was heating problems, and the staff in the front line, you know, the guys on the trucks, they're the people who receive the most complaints, you know, so a big thank you to them as well, you know, because obviously they would get the bulk of the complaints. In regards to the initiative, I think it's a really successful initiative. I think the public's really embraced it, all into it. Not just from the point of recycling waste, but also how they're buying it. They're now looking more closely what they're buying, what they're throwing out. In the past, that wasn't really happening, but you can see it in how people are now purchasing the food. It's more like a shop local, buy it as you need it. So I think that's another good positive story out of the initiative also. And I think it's great to see, you can clearly see that down that on the impact of the blueprints, you know, that people are now really embracing recycling. But in regards to, this is a little bit of in regards to areas where food recycling isn't taking place in large areas, I'm thinking of, you know, I'm thinking of large estates and stuff, where maybe it's an issue where people aren't bought into the issue. Will resources be available for education programs, working with housing associations, working with housing, etc. If we can identify, you know, where there's, you know, where there's a concentration of people maybe not recycling, because the last thing you want is the sticker going on the bin, you know, the black bin's not been lifted, the black bin's been scattered, and then there's issues in regard and all that sort of stuff. So I'd like to get there, you know, preventative sort of focus and get around, start knocking doors and start working in collaboration with others, you know, but it's a sort of negative, but I just don't want it to become a negative. But thanks.
Just in response to Councillor Clark, certainly we do have a strategy for what we want to try and keep it moving. As I said, communications is certainly one area. We have been in contact with the housing executive, and very gently education is something that's in our future strategy.
Commissioner Allen.
Yeah, it's just in relation to, I agree with Evan Anderson in relation to what we spoke about. Those who have had brown bins for quite a number of years now, in relation to the weak tallies that would have been originally given out, I don't think most many people who originally got them still have them. So that leaves a little bit of a problem there, that while we're concentrating on those who have really got the brown bins, there's going to be a large amount of population out there that don't have the small tallies, and I'm wondering, are we going to potentially make them available to those that maybe don't have them?
Certainly, I'm not able to commit to provide Kelly, but I take Councillor's point that people need a receptacle. If whatever we need to do to move the thing forward, I think it's something we need to look at and come back to Council with a proposal.
Are all members happy and satisfied? Okay, well, on the proposal then of Councillor Andrews, on the proposal of Councillor Simmons, seconded by Councillor Andrews, then we accept the officer's recommendations and go then with option one. The next items, number of items for voting. Item number 12 though is for Colin Jackson with regards to voting control.
Thank you, Chair. Members, you will be aware that we held a meeting here on the 27th of September, and it was
very Sir, just before you go on, maybe I should join with us, because I spoke as an objector previously. Do I have to abstain at that point, or just not the front of the gate?
We don't intend having a debate, so I don't think it would be necessary for you to declare an interest at this stage. So thanks for that, Councillor Casey. As I say, members, you will be aware that we did have a meeting here on the Wednesday, the 27th of September, and it was in relation to an amusement permit at 4 Margaret Street in Newry. And what I'm looking for tonight, you have a copy of the minutes of that meeting, and what I'm looking for tonight is confirmation from yourselves that the minutes are a true and accurate reflection of the decisions that were taken at that meeting. And I need a proposer and a seconder for the accuracy of those minutes.
Councillors.
Just as I see, Councillors, there were 4 recommendations made, and the first one was to defer the decisions made until a state visit was taken place. The content of the Irish Times article had to be investigated. Letters of support had to be read, and the Council would actually put in place a policy. prior to making the decision on that that application. That was the four recommendations that came out of the that meeting.
As proposed then, as proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Lamb, Councillor Clark.
Chair, just in regards to the meeting going forward, I wasn't at the meeting, so I take it that I won't be able to take part in any further meetings or even cycling. And just by then, is there time, just as a time frame in regards to that?
Okay.
Policy.
The intention would be that it would be the members that attended the meeting would be the members that attend the site meeting. And we would hope to have that site meeting within the next fortnight. We're actually trying to arrange it, and we're asking the councillors that attended the hearing. We're looking, we're giving them dates, a few options to come back, and hopefully we'll be able to take this within the next fortnight.
Just
a
time frame for the policy.
The policy, that's another story. That we did advise on the day that it would take months to get a policy in place, because the policy had to be consulted on. We had to wait for consultation, and it would take months for us to come up with a policy.
The only reason saying is, I'd imagine the applicant, you know, time is money. I'd imagine the applicant may just go to court in the process.
I would say very, very likely that the applicant's spoken by to us. Their solicitor has already been on to us a couple of times, and it's very likely that they want to receive us through the courts if we don't make a decision.
Okay.
Are we all happy then? So that has been proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Ramnam that the minutes are accurate. Item number 13, and I'm going to pass over then to Kevin, who's going to take us through that, which is a review of the public conveniences.
Chair, the report's been provided. It's an audit of our public conveniences across the council area, and what kicked this off was that councillors within the committee felt that the current standard of the public conveniences wasn't really to the desired level, and so we were asked to carry out an audit of the facilities that we had. So the first phase of that work has been carried out, and we want to bring the information we currently have to the committee at this stage, because we're about to come into the rates estimate proceedings over the next number of months, and we feel that this at officers' levels will be an issue that we'll have to consider within the rates estimates meetings coming ahead. There are 31 public conveniences across the council area. Some of them are your traditional buildings, they're built from brick or block structures, but there are quite a number which are sort of prefabricated buildings, and they don't seem to last just as well as some of the more traditional structures that we have. Attached within the report is a spreadsheet which provides details in relation to the location of the public conveniences, when they're open during the summer and the winter, how often they're cleaned, what the general condition of the facility is, and the officer's opinion on the particular day that they have visited the facility. So it's very much a subjective view of one officer when they've gone around to look at these facilities. And you'll see if you read through that report that the general condition of the PCs that we have across the district ranges from excellent to the very poor. There's also issues in how we're currently cleaning the public conveniences. Some are being cleaned more frequently than others, and that's just a historic thing we have with the two councils coming together. And because there's that difference between how often the facilities are being cleaned, then there is an obvious difference then on how people would find them on a day-to-day basis. It is a continuing piece of work that we have done. So we have looked at them all at this sort of level, but we need to get into more in-depth analysis of what we're finding, and we're working with our colleagues within the Council's Estate Section who can do a little bit more detailed investigation in terms of the condition structure, and if we propose that we need to do significant refurbishment or indeed replacement, what the options could be for the Council in replacing those or refurbishing those facilities, and what the likely cost would be. There was a particular focus when councillors discussed this in relation to the condition of facilities within the Seaside Resort of Newcastle, which has five or six public conveniences, and we did get a series of complaints in relation to those over the summertime period. So the focus with our estates team currently is to look at those facilities in particular, so that we can get information for yourselves coming for the reassessments meetings about what it's possible to do in those facilities and what it's likely to cost, so that you can consider that and agree maybe for placing a budget for this type of work as we go forward over the next number of years. So Chair, that's the substance of the report as it stands.
Councillor Clark.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just one of the first ones at the agenda I thought item 13 was the review of public administration. That's the fact that the review of public convenience is sort of a lapdown, wasn't it? But what I did know was a couple of things that jumped out at me. DCs, or actually quite a number of DCs per convention. And the one in we have done in Uri Market, I see it's been relocated to the Mansour area, to John Mitchell Street. I think that's where the premises seat up there in the month up near the Grotto. I think he's got that's a great, only a small detail, but very important one. Because it's becoming so fairly obvious in council reports that not a lot of work has been done on getting the location right. Because in the previous meeting, they're describing the road meetings in your train station, which we know was very big name, is actually in the report as Drum Dead Name or something. Which I thought very unusual, not where that is. But anyway, the point we're making is that if we're going to get the address, let's get the address right. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Councillor Casey, and if you can update them as appropriate.
Apologies, Chair.
Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. First of all, I'd like to welcome the report and congratulate the officers for bringing them aside. Obviously, previous meetings, I criticise officers, so I think it's a good time to congratulate them when they're doing well. In regards to the report, I think it's quite clearly, you can see in Newcastle, the poor provision of service. And that's why I brought this to the committee for a review to take place, because we were inundated with calls with the quality of the toilet provision in Newcastle. And also, toilets have been open, and you can see quite clearly from the reports that all but one, the toilets have been open in Newcastle. But I suppose this is the easy bit, we've identified now the gaps in provision. Now we need to get the costs and get them into the race process. Because again, when they are used by locals a lot in Newcastle, but again, tourism, tourists visiting our area expect a high quality of toilet facilities. I'm not going to incur plans, but again, but it's the same issue. All the parties working together, and this is as vital as providing, arts or whatever, the entire provision and experience has to be at a high end as well. So, moving forward, I agree with Officer Kevin in regards to the prefabricated sort of buildings. They don't wear well. They're very prone to vandalism. People breaking in the back and. Setting on fire and other issues. So I would be, I would like a design, traditional sort of block building with a traditional stone on the front, similar to, next to the Body Bridge, which is a good toilet. Again, an excellent toilet. I think that would also support local contractors as well, where they at least tender for that type of structure. So just look forward to the designs and the further papers and then get them into the race.
We'll call him William and say, well, he's
finished. Thank you very much, Councillor Clark. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair, and welcome to the report. In fact, it definitely makes up the afternoon and definitely eyebrow raising material. Issues that have been raised recently, as a lot of countries have touched on, mainly Newcastle with all of them. And as they do what we do, buying all of the tourism is a key factor for our district, but we also have to look at our residents as well. impressive blasts over the day. And you know, whenever the Mone area across the guard kill any sinfully, I don't kill any few years ago the toilets were up to smoke from before the petrol, but you know, and when you look at like, the matter 2 or 3 years down the end, there's a very bad conviction. And I do definitely think that we do definitely need a strategy in place to definitely move this project forward as quick as possible and to try to get these issues that have been highlighted addressed. You know, I remember years ago going up across Guard and we had local residents who were employed by the council and they got a wee retainer going every day, morning and night, open up, mop up and clean up. And that's just some work then, and why can't I go back to that now? But as I say, if there's anything that needs to be done or proposals maybe get this into action, I'd only be too happy to propose it and move forward.
Thank
you, councillors.
Councillor Craig. Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, yes, it does create a bad image if our type facilities aren't good. But I was just one question for Kevin. Is obviously costs have yet to be added to this. I'm just wondering what sort of criteria we'll be using to prioritise. I mean, will for instance take into consideration if there's only health and safety issues and then just really general very poor state of repair. Because we really need to maybe have some guidance on the priority list going forward as we set a budget for the rates process.
Sure, as I said, the focus has been on the Newcastle area and we will have the more in-depth condition reports in relation to those buildings and they will take into consideration the health and safety issues which need to be addressed as a priority. The premises are inspected on a regular basis, so if there are individual repairs need to be carried out, they'll be carried out as a matter of course anyway. I suppose if we look at the subjective view of the officer who has prepared the report, of the 31 PCs that's referred to, 6 of them in their view would require total replacement, 10 of them would require a refurbishment, and 14 of them would require general repairs and maintenance. And if you look at replacing some of these things, you could be talking a cost between £50,000 and £100,000 for each unit of replacement. If you go for refurbishment, it could be up to a cost of £50,000. And for general repairs, you could be talking about £10,000. So going forward, in terms of the reassessment, you could be looking at looking for funds in the region of £1 million going forward over a number of years to bring the toilets up to facility, up to the standard that we want. I don't think this is going to be achieved overnight. It's going to take time. I appreciate the point that Councillor Clark's made about the fact that the traditional structure maybe lasts longer and everything else, but it also takes longer to bring that about. Whereas if you decide to go down the prefab route, that's something that can be implemented much quicker. So all those factors have to be taken into account. But as part and parcel of that, a priority for us will be to prioritise the toilets that need to be prioritised, and that will take account of matters such as health and safety, but also those which are a focus in terms of the council's corporate plan, and that's a focus maybe on the areas of tourism, which is where we want to make a big impact.
Can I just bring in that as well, please?
It's just our chair that we have commissioned the state from within the authority to focus on Newcastle, but we're also commissioning additional capacity to have a look at the rest. So we're not just coming back with 6 or 7 projects. We do hope to give you some ballpark indication of overall cost. And of course, the ability to fund all of it in one go, I'm sure, will not be achievable, but spread over a period that allows us to prioritise, say, for a 3-year programme.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah. I suppose it is in relation to the pilot, but not in relation to the report that's been carried out. But it was a meeting that a colleague of mine had within our office in one bank with parents who have children with autism and teenagers and young adults, and the issues that they faced if they're using toilet blocks, being trying to use the baby changing areas, but they found them that they're not large enough to deal with an adult with autism and stuff. So I think it's something that we need to take into account in any future bills that we put in place, that we do account
for situations like that. There, I think we need to start thinking outside the normal sort of box when it comes to relation to what we provide in our areas. I know they were talking about Trigoni Park, where they found it extremely difficult to get their child into the facility there. But as we move forward, it most definitely is something I think we need to bear in mind and move forward in the future.
Thank you, Alex. Councillor Rand, is everyone happy then with the report? Mm-hmm. Happy to know the report. Then the next three reports, item 14, is our 21 joint committee meetings, minutes of the 31st of August. And item 15 is another our 21 joint committee meeting, minutes of Thursday, 28th of September 2017. And we're happy to note that. Does anyone have any questions regarding those items? No? Okay, if we then go on to item number 16, which is our historic action sheet. And again, if councillors are happy to note the action sheet or if there are any questions, now would be a good time. All content, all satisfied? Good. Councillors, thank you very much for your attendance tonight. Thank you very much to those here in the gallery and to those in the press and the officers. Thank you very much. Thank you.